everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
NFL Week 4, the only matchup of two 3-0 teams, Patriots and Bills. Whether the Bills can hang with the Pats, whether the Pats can hang with the Bills. Also, Philadelphia Eagles' big win, going to the belly of the beast to get it. That's our paddle. Let's go. So does the tongue come out of the belly button when
there's plenty in the belly button.
Start with Packers, Eagles.
Eagles plus +4. Cash in the money, man. Bank on that. Bank on that.
Cash in the money, George. Cash in the money with the bank.
Well,
now I know. I get
well
what you meant.
Said.
Cash in the money, America. There we go. Yeah. Woody Page here at the Packers. This is an unfortunate turn of events for you. These four plays for Green Bay at end goal. Pass, 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 pass.
That's a great question.
It's a great question why they didn't run. That's what Matt LaFleur said after the game. And, of course, the game decider, the tip interception here. George, I'm going to start with you because I go to you for my cash-in money hand bank. Did the play calls or the execution lose the game for the Packers?
Tony, it's a little bit of both, but if I had to pick one over the other, it's obviously the play calls in those situations. You talk about the run-pass balance, 53 passes as opposed to only 20 runs. And in the red zone, 4 runs versus 16 passes in 7 red zone trips. That, to me, was the ball game there. If you're Matt LaFleur, you got to do a better job managing the game. I know it's easy when you have Aaron Rodgers to sit there and say, let's let him sling it, but we've seen that isn't always fruitful.
Woody Page, same question to you.
I agree with George. It was the play calls. And I think we tend to forget that rookies make mistakes as players. Coaches who are rookie coaches make mistakes. I think Matt LaFleur learned something last night that he made bad calls down there. You got to run the football. You really got to run the football, particularly from the 1 yard line. First of all, I hate the fade. It works 1 out of 10 times.
Yeah, you can't
throw up 50-50 balls. And I think that it just was when you get down there, they had 7 plays inside the 7-yard line, and they got no points. I mean, I'm watching the end of the game, and I'm thinking about George having picked Eagles.
How does George do it, really? Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you said Matt LaFleur may have learned something. He may have learned it at the podium when it was asked by a reporter, Tim Kalishaw. How did this game go down?
I think what Matt LaFleur is learning is he doesn't call the plays in Green Bay. I hate to go against our cash in the money, man, but I think it was the execution. I don't really fault them for not running. They did not have a running game. Aaron Jones had 13 carries for 21 yards. The only yardage they ever got on the ground was Aaron Rodgers' scrambles, which you're really not going to do that. Now, if you spread people out and Aaron Rodgers' quarterback sneaks, I don't know why you can't do that. Carson Wentz works every time with him, so they could have tried that, but they had to think one of these plays is going to work. They just didn't.
Darius Payne?
Yeah, they made some good points, and certainly the play calling is something you could take issue with. But we're focusing on an offense that scored a lot more points than they had previously and ignoring a defense that had been stifling, gave up 176 yards on the ground, including 3 touchdowns to Jordan Howard in one game, which is as many he had against the Packers with his entire tenure with the Bears. This was a defense that they had counted on through 3 games. Everyone said the offense needs to step up. Well, they stepped up enough to put up enough points that if the defense had done their half of things, they would have won the game. So it's got to be the totality and not just the play calling.
You brought up the rushing attack for Philadelphia. Tim Kalishaw, first to you on the Eagles' side of the ball. What was different for them?
Well, that was the big thing. Not that they can run the ball, but they were willing to run the ball and stick with it. They ended up with more rushing yards, Sarah said, at 176 to 160 yards passing for Wentz. They split it up between Sanders and Jordan Howard. Most people thought they would go more to Sanders, even with the fumbles last week, but Jordan Howard kind of got new life, because that's what you can do against Green Bay. You can run on them, but the Eagles usually don't. They usually don't stick with it. That was one thing. You know, the other one, the defense, really, the secondary wasn't good, and you know, Devontae Adams leaving the game. I don't know if they win if that doesn't happen. So they still have defensive issues, especially you know, the at the corners. But the willingness to run and their desperation got them to win.
I feel like I have to go to George for the Eagles. I mean, this is your account now for all intents and cash and money purposes.
Cash in the money, reality, that's the way it works. I'm with Kalashaw here in the sense that they were able to run the ball and stick to the run. But here's the thing. I find it interesting that he's okay with them sticking to the run and not necessarily that being the case with the Packers, where the Packers only ran it 20 times, but he was lamenting the fact that they ran it that way or they played it that way. But ultimately, it's this. You gave the opportunity for the Eagles to have to flourish, excuse me, as far as their passing game is concerned, because you allowed them the ability to run. Once you can run the ball and you take advantage of the soft middle of the Green Bay Packers defense, which we now see is the big problem there potentially, it then changes all the different phases of the defense.
Wow, I feel like George called out Kalashaw's lamentations here, and we need to get a response from Tim. So Philly ran the ball, and that's why they won. Green Bay, you don't think they should run the ball?
Philly was getting more than 5 yards per carry. That's a good play, so you keep doing it. Green Bay is getting less than 2 yards per run. That's a bad play, so you stop doing
it. Well, not exactly, because Green Bay was so committed to running on first down. That's been an issue for them. You know what's an issue for the NFL right now? The pass interference call. Are you convinced anyone at any moment can determine what it is and what it isn't? Can anyone even define the words egregious or significant hindering? Woody Page, I go to you for significant hindering. How big of a problem is this for the league?
It's a major problem. It's going to continue this entire season because of the new rule. Does anybody watching this show not realize that the play we saw last night was the same play in the playoffs against the Saints? It's amazing. And I finally figured out watching that play last night, Tonester, I want to tell you this. So it's a judgment call, correct? On the field.
Right.
So they go to the replay. And guess what? It's still a judgment call.
Exactly.
So the judgment call was made on the field wrong. The judgment call. So it's not like a touchdown inbounds where you can see it. They made a decision. It was wrong. They're not getting this play right any more than they did last year. And they haven't figured it out. Do any of us have the solution? I don't know, but I know that they're not getting it right because it remains a judgment call.
All right. Sarah Spain.
Been a bad week for whistleblowers, but in this case I don't feel bad calling them out because there's two reasons why this was supposed to exist: for clarity and to get it right. In the end, we don't care if it's a little bit of an inconvenience if we're getting the call right. Well, we didn't get it right and we have no clarity. It reminds me of the catch rule now. Well, we thought if we put this into place, they would only use it in egregious examples. We would all agree it was egregious and we would all know what we had seen right in front of our eyes. Instead, even in egregious examples, they're still like, nope, we didn't see it. So now we have zero clarity on what is pass interference and it's not getting called right. We're worse off than before.
Jim Kalashaw.
It's unfortunate because being able to challenge interference, something Bill Belichick and I pushed for years, finally with a little help from Sean Payton, the three of us got it across and got it into the game with the power that we exude. But here's the thing. Woody is correct. I mean, that's about as close to the Saints-Rams play as you can get. The guy's not looking at the play. He puts his hand right up in the guy's in the receiver's chin. What's clear and obvious? What's not clear and obvious?
George Sedano.
Am I the only one that remembers the Saints-Rams play where Nicole Roby-Coleman literally torpedoed the receiver? That was not what happened there yesterday. Although I will say this. Look, the reality is, there's irony here with the Packers. They were the team that had to deal with the situation that Sarah alluded to, which is the Dez Bryant catch or no catch. But the NFL continually gets this stuff wrong. Why are you going to have someone in the booth if you're going to get something wrong as egregiously as the NFL did?
Well, is there even a right? Is there even a wrong, Sarah Spade? What if there's no spoon?
I just wanted to point out that's That's coincidence, not irony. It's important because we often misuse.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're going to dock Sedano points for getting coincidence and irony wrong.
But is it though? Because the irony is it worked the other way with the Packers.
Well,
they benefited from it.
My point is, if you get 10 people in a room and 5 people think one thing is right and 5 people think the other thing is right,
there is
no right answer then, and we have to all move on from that. We're going to move on from this topic because we're not getting to the bottom of it. A wave of mutilation. Let's go. Biggest game on the NFL schedule for week 4, could it be Bills-Patriots? The last time the Bills beat the Patriots, 3 years ago, last time Bills had the same record as the Pats going into a matchup this late in the season, 7 years ago. Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins, quote, "It's really about us," quote, "I've got Josh Allen," end quote. Sarah Spade, how do you hear that, and how can Buffalo win this game?
They're going to have to do a lot right. Tom Brady, 30-3 against the Bills. So this is going to take a Herculean effort. And as they say, it's a game that's going to be won in the trenches. And I think it is. Offensive lines on both sides. So the Patriots have allowed less than 15% pressure on Tom Brady's dropbacks. That's tied for second fewest in the league. But they've got a shoddy offensive line that's hurt again by potentially having to use a third string O-lineman. So the Bills have to get to Tom Brady, and Mike is like difficult. On the other side, the Bills have allowed the second most pressure to their quarterback, and they're facing a Patriots team that's tied for the lead in sacks. So they have to protect their own quarterback and make mistake-free football if they want any chance against
Tim Kalishaw. The Bills have Josh Allen. What's their path to victory?
Well, the path to victory isn't there. It's on the other side. You can't tell so much in the first three games because of the opposition. The Patriots' offensive line is not very good. In the words of Mr. Sedano, you can literally torpedo this line, okay? And the Bills have the front seven to be able to do that. And I think they can make, you know, the Patriots don't run the ball consistently. Now, the problem is Brady gets rid of the ball in about a second and a half. You're not going to get to him a lot, but on the road, you can mess him up a little.
Woody Page, Buffalo's path to victory here?
Yes, well, I'm going to answer your specific question rather than going into trenches and places like that. They win the game because of Josh Allen, and maybe because of his running ability, because I've watched him 5 years in college and in the pros. The guy is a great runner. He's not like Lamar Jackson, but he's more like a halfback. If you can think of somebody that actually could play tailback in the league, that's what he could do. So if he's able to escape, he throws the ball extremely well in this game, and he runs for about 100 yards.
Okay, I think they have all right, that's it.
Puncher's chance to win the
game. A puncher's chance if the quarterback runs for 100 yards. George Sedano, Buffalo's path to victory.
Buffalo's path to victory, Tony, is to be able to control the clock and to take advantage of the weak offensive line that Sarah pointed out when it comes to New England. The other part of New England's offense that's in trouble right now is the fullback position, which certainly helps or hurts Sony Michel. Sony Michel needs that fullback to get that running game going. So I expect Tom Brady to be throwing the ball more. There's going to be more passes, intermediate passes, passes to the backfield. James White's probably going to be involved. So you got to control the clock to not allow Brady to get that passing game going.
Deion Dawkins, this is about us, this game today. It's about the Bills. Anybody have Buffalo pulling off an upset in this one? Home game?
Absolutely not.
They're marrying people off at halftime in Buffalo. It's a big game. Puncher's chance, Woody Page. All right, Kalishaw, I can't tempt you. Maybe this will be one of Kalishaw's famed lamentations on Monday. And Sarah Spade, not for you either. Everybody's got the Patriots? All right. More picks and more sports stories in buy or sell. Why did I say sports stories? That's literally what we do.
Back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Ask me if I care, Pete. Texas Ranger Mike Minor's response to any criticism about the purposely dropped foul ball that he ordered, his teammates ordered, so he'd have another chance at a 200 strikeout, which he got on the next pitch. Tim, this is your jurisdiction because he is a Ranger. Buy or sell how this all went down.
I'm going to buy this. In the words of the great Woody, that would be Rangers manager Chris Woodward, it was almost crossing the line.
Almost. Okay.
Not quite crossing the line. I'm a little concerned that Minor was screaming at Guzman not to catch the ball. But, you know, it's a long season. Miner's had a great year, by the way. Second in the majors in war among pitchers. Let's focus on that. Not the
Darius Bean.
Yeah, how about, no, how about there's already 23 pitchers that have over 200 strikeouts, a couple more in striking distance, and you don't want that stat if it's via asterisk where everybody knows that it wasn't organic. It's not about the rights of the game or respect. It's more about the principle of, like, you're not trying. Like, you had an out right there. Get the out. And it's not even that impressive of a stat. It was about having two pitchers.
I think we're going to go ahead and make organic a bad word here. A bad word.
Wow.
When it deals with statistics. I don't need organic statistics. Maybe just organic tail. George Sedano, how about you?
Tony, the whole game of baseball is one big asterisk basically over the last 20 years. So what's one more? Baseball's full of all these unwritten rules. Let the man get his 200 strikeouts. And by the way, Boston, you're just projecting on him because you didn't do what you expected this year.
Whoa, whoa. Listen to George Sedano. We don't have a Boston panelist on the show, so we have nobody to respond to that. Woody Page, you can if you want.
Yeah, nice try, Sarah, but who cares? It's a game between two teams that are not going anywhere. And yes, that might have been a tough catch if he tried to make it.
Okay.
But besides, what difference does it make the rest?
We're getting a mute for that. A serious question, legitimate question. Does anybody know 200 strikeouts? I'm shocked that the players knew that he was going for 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Not an important stat.
We'll move on. Three games to go in the season, and here's how it breaks down. A's wild card one, Rays wild card two. Cleveland needs to sweep the Nats and get help. In the National League, Brewers won back at St. Louis, and the Cardinals are getting a Cubs team this weekend that's going to throw out backups and prospects. Joe Maddon, quote, "There are certain things I don't give a bleep about, and that would be one of them," end quote. Sarah Spain, this is your jurisdiction. Should Maddon give a bleep, and should baseball give a bleep if Maddon gives a bleep or not?
So what he said he didn't give a bleep about was if the Brewers were going to whine about him not playing a lot of starters. Anthony Rizzo's ankle is the size of my head. Chris Bryant is injured. They already shut down Hendricks and you. Javi Baez hasn't been able to play for a month plus. So it's not like they're just laying down and not trying. They're getting a look at younger guys, and they're not risking injury in games that mean nothing to them, and they shouldn't mean something to them to help either the Brewers or Cardinals.
Dana?
Win out, and you don't have anything to complain about.
You have 162 games if you're the Brewers to get your job done. To sit here and complain about a manager taking care of his own players seems silly. Do your own bleeping job.
Okay. All right. Woody Page?
Well, I think it's a free range kind of answer that I have for you.
I see what you're doing.
It's not
there,
a free
Yeah, thank you very much.
The Cubs played their best lineup and lost 9 games in a row. Maybe these guys could actually win a game that are coming off the bench. And on the other side, what are the Brewers talking about? They've been 20-4 in September. They're playing against a team that plays its best lineup and has lost 90 games in the Rockies. Just go out and do your job.
All right. I haven't read any Brewers quoted as being upset about this, but I'm just let's talk to Tim Kalishaw about this, because you're quite familiar with teams that don't have a lot to play for at the end of the season. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I find myself agreeing with the great George Sedano a lot today. He's really bringing a lot to the show, I find. I think it's a situation where how can you complain about lineups today? I mean, there's so many lineups during the year and teams starting guys from the bullpen, and there's a number of teams not really playing to win back in May. So we're going to worry about how Maddon finishes.
The Cubs were trying to win for the last month, and they weren't doing such a good job. And who do the Brewers have? They have the Rockies, who've been losing games like nobody's business. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Browns at Ravens. As underwhelming as Cleveland's start has been, a win here, they'd be even in the division with Baltimore. Ravens with comments this week that they're tired of the Browns' hype. George, who are you buying? Who are you selling? And what would it take for Cleveland to turn this around?
I'm buying the Ravens. They're the third best team in the AFC behind New England and Kansas City. They control the clock for 38 minutes every single game thus far this season. And to change the Cleveland Browns' fortunes, it's third down, Tony. It's protect Baker Mayfield and complete more than 28% of your third down.
Will they be able to do that this week? I'll take that as a no, George. Woody Page, how about you?
How can the Browns win this game? Guess what, Tony? They can't. They're going up against a good team. Mayfield only beats teams that are under 500. He doesn't win on the road against a good team.
Tim Kalishaw?
I'm buying the Ravens being tired of the hype, buying the Ravens being the best team in the division, buying the Ravens being all over Baker Mayfield.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, Ravens have the highest scoring offense in part due to week one, but still looking good. They've got a fantastic defense. We haven't seen anything from the Browns or Baker yet against good teams to have us believe that they'll win.
All right. George Dano, I've noticed a pattern in a lot of your arguments here. You're really focusing on clock management. You did a good job managing clock in this show. You more words per minute than anybody else on this panel today, and that has you in the showdown. Woody Page, Tim Kallis show. Weekend starts right now.
I was literally torpedoed off the show.
Literally torpedoed, yes. I just torpedoed you off the show.
It's a bit ironic, too.
Sedano, Spade, showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The Safeway Open. Tony Romo came into today 2-under-70. He's on the course right now. But he was ahead of guys like Phil Mickelson, Jim Furyk, plenty of others. If he makes the cut, he'll be out for Bears-Vikings Sunday. George, would you rather see him on the course or in the booth? And how do you think CBS feels about this?
Tony, I'd rather see him on the course. It's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. The best he's finished at this event is 127th. He's tied for 28th right now. Come on, CBS, give the man a mulligan.
Well, I can see why CBS would be frustrated, and I would love to see him on the course, but I also kind of am looking forward to him telling us just before every Mitchell Trubisky and Kirk Cousins pick. You could see that happening every single time.
I don't think this could be a once-in-a-lifetime, George. I'd be here if he were to take 2 years off of announcing and try it full-time. If he's better than Mickelson at this point, we'll move on. J-Lo and Shakira, by now you've heard, halftime for the Super Bowl. Sarah, make the argument for or against?
Let me start by saying I'm for this. I think they will put on a spectacular show. But I'm also for making it truly Miami. You got to have Pitbull riding down a giant disco ball full of a organic white powdery substance.
Whoa. George Sedano, how about you?
All right, listen, Tone. I love Shakira. I love J-Lo. They live in Miami. But you need real Miami. DJ Khaled was once a DJ on a radio station in Miami. Luther Campbell fought for explicit lyrics against the Supreme Court. And as far as football's concerned, he brought in kids, okay, to play in Pop Warner leagues like Chad Ochocinco and the like. You need real Miami.
Oh, wow. We're going to get some real Miami in FaceTime. Sarah, you're getting us in trouble with the explicit lyrics, I think. Go ahead, George. 30 seconds.
Thank you, Tony. Hey, the internet loves to criticize people, and Ben Simmons has been taking a lot of it because he says he has a newfound love for the game. And you know what? Let the kid grow, man. We don't let kids grow in the NBA or in general. He's trying to work on his jump shot. He's trying to round out his game and trying to round out his life. Having love for something that he may have lost because of specialization, that's a good thing and a good realization. Good on Ben.
Well said, George. I mean, how many people go through ebbs and flows in all their careers? Woody's won right now. He's lost his two shows in a row.
Donald,
he hates this job.
In the money.
71 and a half hour break. See ya.